Ezra chapter 8. I said we'll look this morning at Ezra, a godly man of integrity. In Ezra 7, we saw that another era in the narrative of Israel's history, we have a new king. This Artaxerxes is not the one that we had met earlier. There has been we saw that in previous chapters, the temple had been finished in its building. Now, 60 years have passed since that was finished. We saw in 7, we had revealed to us the Lord's continued working in Babylon, guiding the heart here of another heathen king, Artaxerxes, and then his choosing out Ezra from among his people to lead them. We saw him being one that was usable, and the phrase was used, for such a time as this. Today, this Father's Day, as we continue in Ezra and in chapter 8, we'll note, as well as we'll look at a little bit from the last chapter as well, the numerous characteristics of this man of integrity. In the previous message, we saw last week in the 7th chapter that Ezra was a man with a prepared heart. And that was a blessing to see that, for us to learn from that last time. If you would look there at the 10th verse of Ezra 7, we saw that he had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. If there was ever a need in our homes today, it is that we would have men that would take that position to seek the law of the Lord, to seek to know God's word, and then not just to know it, as we emphasized last week, but to do it, to put it to practice, that we be not just hearers of the word, but we be doers of the word, that we apply God's word to our heart. So to seek the law of God, to do the law of God. And then as Ezra, we saw last week, took in hand to teach the law of God. How that is that should be encumbered upon each of us, as I shared last week, that instruction and that taking those things that we know and to give them to others and to share them. And today, as we remember fathers, remember that particular place that God has given the father in leadership in the home, he especially should be one that is instructing in those things that he knows from God's word, that he's put to practice from God's word, that he's not one that says, well, don't do as I do as I say. No, it ought not to be that way, should it? It should be lived out in the life. And then it can be taught. Otherwise, it seems somewhat hypocritical for us to say, don't do as I do. So there is to be that instruction in the law of God, instruction in the scriptures. And certainly Ezra was one of those men that he was a man we saw with a prepared heart, a heart that was right before God. That's where we must start, is it not? Each of us, not just fathers, mothers, teens, children, have your heart right before God. We just encourage you to, even as we begin with that very point, to emphasize, how everyone needs the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Each one needs to be forgiven, for cleansed, because we are all a people condemned for our sin. There is none without sin. There's none that do not need the cleansing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we encourage, if there's any here this morning without Christ, that today that you would repent, turn from your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ, putting your faith and trust in Him that has paid the penalty for your sin, and trust in Him. And then, even as we're instructing others today to seek the law of God, to do it, and then that you might have that you can share with others. There's another thing that I wanted us to note from the seventh chapter about one of the characteristics, and it's that which is kind of assumed, and we see that even as we look at verse 6, and in verse 6, at the end of it, when Ezra, it says he was a ready scribe in the law of in the law of God, in the law of Moses, it says, and the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Ezra obviously had favor in the eyes of the king. One of the things that we were looking at requirements for those that would be appointed to office in the church we just mentioned that here this morning in our adult Sunday school class, that it'd be a man of good report of them without. I believe Ezra was one who had a good report outside of his own people. Obviously, he had that. He must have walked in his integrity. I was thinking, sometimes when people live in a situation as the Jews were living in captivity in Babylon, sometimes people do those things unwisely to stir up the king's wrath. The scripture lets us know that we've got to be careful in doing that. That's to our own detriment when we do things to stir up the wrath of the king. One that came to mind in that regard was back when David was king, and yet when there was trouble there and he was leaving Jerusalem, there was a Shimei. Remember him? He's one that went along beside them and cursed David and threw stones at him and the ones that were there with him. Later on we would find in 2 Samuel that had it not been for David sparing his life later when David was there in power, David's servants wanted to take Shimei and string him up and get rid of him. David said, no, we're not doing that. We're not going to act that way. But had it not been for that, that man would have lost his life. And then I think of the other side. I think of Daniel. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were men that were living under the authority of a heathen king. They were living there, but they had a good report of him. They were good examples of that, and how that is important. And I think as men, as fathers, we need fathers who are law-abiding citizens. And as the book of Romans tells us, in Romans 12:17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things that are honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. It's easy in our pride. It's easy as we have our own ways, and it's especially easy in times when there is a government that is going in a wrong way, away from the things of God, even as we see happening in our own country at this time. It is easy for us to maybe be belligerent, and you know, it's just kind of the attitude. It's the way we deal with things in the society in which we live. How important it is, and how we would challenge in this and challenge as men as you lead your homes, that you as much as is possible that you live peaceably with all men. The 19th verse that follows that in Romans 12 says, "Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" I think probably one of the issues that we often have to deal with as men is dealing with anger, dealing with wanting to get back at somebody and revenge, and that's. But the Lord says, don't give place unto that. Remember that the Lord says, "Vengeance is mine; I will repay," saith the Lord. You leave those things to the Lord. Just having a good report of. A good report in the world, a good report that we are honest, that we do our work as we ought. We had to just encourage you in that to seek not only to have a good report among those that are your own and your own people, but as we go out into the world to have a good report. That we see with Ezra. We see that when we come to Ezra chapter 8, what we have here is Ezra as he comes and as he starts and he's gathering people together as he has been given the right and authority to do from Artaxerxes. What we have is a listing of ones. It says, beginning in the 8th verse, "These are now the chief of their fathers. And this is the genealogy of them that went up with me from Babylon in the reign of Artaxerxes." What follows then is a listing of ones that are going to go with Ezra as they will be leaving Babylon and they will be going down to join those in Israel, join them there in Jerusalem, where the temple has been rebuilt. And of course we've seen we saw the heart preparation Ezra had made, and as we go down through those verses, we see that Ezra wanted to follow what the Lord had put out in His Word. He wasn't just taking this group there without considering what God would have them to do. Ezra had an obedient heart, and as he's having these come and looking at their families, making sure that there is what is needed, one of the things that he'll find is that they are lacking Levites to come. When you come here to the 15th verse, he said, "And I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava, and there abode we in tents 3 days. I viewed the people and the priests and found there none of the sons of Levi." As in Ezra, and as preparing his heart, wanting to do what God wanted him to do, wanting to follow the scriptures, we see him, he's got a heart of obedience, a heart of obedience that's going to keep him from being driven by pragmatics, just what works. We live in a day of pragmatics. People just say, well, this is what works. There's a much greater emphasis of doing what people want and what will bring them in to the church than on what the scripture, what is scriptural and what is going to honor God. It is so important that we have a desire, this is what other people are doing, this is what's drawing people in, this is what's going to do, but no, let's do what the scripture says. We would say that as we call out especially to the men here, to let the scripture guide you. Do you do what you want? Do you do what your wife wants? Or do you do what God wants? Do you do what your children want? Or do you do what God wants? What a great responsibility is placed upon men in their leadership of a home. To follow in the ways of God. You say, well, I want to lead a quiet and a peaceable life, so I'm going to do what my wife wants. I'm going to do what my kids want. That's the way some men are. But we say, well, I know what the Bible says, but. How important it is that we take the place of leadership, that we take that place of responsibility that God has given to us, that you let the scripture guide you so that you're doing what God wants. So what happened here with Ezra is that he recognized that, wait a minute, we're not just going there to get a number of people to go back to Israel. He needed men that are like himself. Where are his brethren? They're not here. Israel's not going to be able to function as a nation as God would have them to if there are not the Levites there to be there as helping and in the worship. This is to be a central part of their society. And so what we see here is in the next thing is that we see Ezra as he sees this need. What does he do? We get down to the 21st verse. He says, "I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava." There we see that. Ezra called for those that were the Levites. He called for them as he saw their need. And we see him having those come together that are needed. Verse 17. "And I sent them with commandment unto Idu, the chief of the place of Caspia. I told them what they should say unto Idu and to his brethren, the Nethanim." Those were those that helped there in serving at the place of Caspia, "that they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God." And then look at 18. "And by the good hand of our God upon us, They brought us a man of understanding. And then it goes on and it lists those that came that were going to fulfill that need. And so as Ezra is following the scripture, as he counts the Levites, calls out the need, we see the Lord granting the appeal that he made, and we see then it being carried out. You know, I put here in my notes, we have just looked in our Sunday school class at the elder qualifications, recognizing we need qualified men for that. I think of, do we have men that will or that can step into the gaps that are there? And we recognize that we need to, even as Ezra challenged these here, why weren't there ones there? The Bible doesn't say why there weren't ones there. Remember that people had settled in there to Babylon. They had their occupations there. They had their, you know, some of them, and at this time they were living peaceably there in the land. Maybe there were those there that thought, I can serve better here now than not. We don't know what the reason is, but when Ezra put out the challenge, he knew what was needed in Israel. And when he put out the challenge, we need some of you to go to serve in the temple. It says, by the good hand of the Lord provided those to come. You know, we need to be challenged. Our men need to be challenged. Prepare for such a time as this. Young men need to be challenged. Be preparing your lives to serve God. You need to be challenged just when I'm going to work tomorrow. I want to be prepared. I want to know what God would have me to do. I want to be able to give answers to those that ask of me of my faith, or that I would share with others my faith. Men need to be challenged. They need to be prepared. Challenged to be prepared, challenged to be qualified. And then when the challenge comes, who will go? You know, we have missionaries that come and call out a challenge, and we need help. We need somebody that's qualified to go. Then there are those that, of course, the scripture says that we are to pray. Pray the Lord of harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Well, the call went out here in Ezra 8. Ezra, who was following the scriptures, following what needed to be done, put out the challenge, and here we see those coming in. Now we come to the passage that we read in our responsive reading. What do you see in that passage? I see Ezra as a man of prayer. I see Ezra as a man of prayer. Beginning there in verse 21, there's a recognition of dependency upon God. He's called the people together for humility and humbleness, to fast and to pray. There's public prayer here that is taking place. He said, I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. You know, there's a time for public prayer. I have been challenged sometimes by those that say, I pray at home. I'm a very private person. I don't pray in public. You know, there's definitely, we need to be men pray in our closets. We need to be men that it's between us and our God as we're there together before the Lord. There needs to be that time. But there's also a time for corporate public prayer. When there are particular needs, and this is a public prayer is for public needs. There needs to be a public recognition of our dependence upon God. Do you really depend upon God? And I think of our men. Where men ought to be leading. Do your wives and your children and your grandchildren and your friends see your humble dependence upon God? God gives grace to the humble. You know, I believe every believer should have an active part in our corporate public prayer. If our time of meeting makes it impossible for you to be here, and I know that there are those that aren't able to be here, but I know you ought to take time to write out your requests, things that we can bring together. Make them available to those that meet. Seek to know what the needs are so that you may then come together in private and be a part of that corporate public prayer. One of the blessings of our Wednesday prayer meeting is there are many needs that are brought forth that you wouldn't know of otherwise. And even as we gather together for prayer, I just encourage you, if you're not able to be here, give us requests. Come when you can. And then ask others. I know there are some that have someone making up a list or giving a prayer list. Say, hey, I can't be there, but can you, will you let me know what's been brought that we can pray? Ezra saw that need. He called the people together for prayer. And what happened? What happened as you drop down there to the 23rd verse, it said, so we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. The Lord, as they prayed to the point of where the Lord was entreated. He was entreated to the place to where he was responding. He heard with ears to hear. What does 2 Chronicles say, that passage that we hear many times? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. God's looking for a people who will humble themselves and pray. The answer to that, came at the end, as we go down to the 31st verse, to the 32nd, it said that when they departed, verse 31, the middle of verse, and the hand of our God was upon us. He delivered us from the hand of the enemy and from such as lay in wait by the way. They had traveled for 4 months. The Lord gave them safety. I skipped over those verses just before that. And kind of to put these two points together of being a man of prayer, but another point in the midst of that is he was a man of a guarded testimony. He was a man of a guarded testimony. Go back to what was happening here, beginning in verse 22. They had all of this wealth. They had all of the offerings that had been given. They had the vessels of silver and gold. they had the all of the monies that were given in order for them to be able to buy and to pay for their sacrifices that were going to be given. All of these things that were there for the temple. They had a great amount of wealth. And they were going to be traveling for 4 months. And you know, Ezra's dealing with a king that the Lord has really worked on his heart. And in Ezra's mind, he knows that Artaxerxes would send an army of men, a contingent to go with to protect them on the way. And that would not have been necessarily bad for Artaxerxes to do that. Except Ezra knows, he says, you know, I've been talking to Artaxerxes, and I've told him that God gives protection. And I've told, you know, look at that 22nd verse. He said, I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, and his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. You know, Ezra knew that, yes, the king was of a mind to give, but he was sensitive to the testimony because he says, you know, I don't think Artaxerxes is going to understand. He's going to think, wait a minute. Do they really trust in the Lord or don't they? I believe he felt that for him to have Artaxerxes send these soldiers, it was going to be a stumbling block to the king. What I see Ezra doing to guard his testimony, he puts aside his own personal rights and he says, you know, for Artaxerxes really to understand what I've been telling him about the Lord, we just need to trust the Lord for protection here. You know, I think about that and I wonder, fathers, how important is the name of God to you? You know, Ezra was concerned more about the name of his God and the testimony of God. He was more concerned about that than he was even for his own self. And I ask the question, how important is it that the Lord's name be raised high and honored? Ezra's willing to risk all at this point and trust in the Lord. And it's a result of this then, as we see Ezra coming before the Lord in prayer and going back to that fact of how Ezra was a man of prayer, we see God answering that prayer. And so that's when we come to the 31st verse. And it says, you know, they departed, they went. It says, the hand of our God was upon us. He delivered us from the hand of the enemy and from such as lie in wait by the way. God gave his protection. What did God do? I don't know. Ezra knew there were enemies along the way. Maybe the Lord distracted him the way he distracted Saul's army that was after David. Whatever the Lord did, you know, the Lord can protect. Ezra knew there were those that laid in wait. There were robbers along the way. There were those it just made it their business. That was their occupation, was to rob those that traveled there. But God gave protection. Ezra was concerned. He was a man who guarded the testimony of his God, and he He put his own self at risk, but trusting the Lord because he didn't feel that the king would understand if they took that protection. Of course, Ezra was a man, and another thing we see here, he was a man of a financial integrity. When we see what he did with all these treasures, beginning in verse 24, he distributed them, he weighed them out, and he gave them to different individuals. He says, "Then I separated 12 of the chief of the priests, and he weighed unto them," verse 25, "the silver and the gold." They were given these treasures. This stuff was divided up, weighed out, written down, so each one was going to be accountable for what was given to them. They were reminded in verse 28 of their responsibility. He says, "I said unto them, ye are holy unto the Lord, and the vessels are holy also, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering given unto the Lord God of your fathers. So watch ye and keep them until ye weigh them before the chief of the priests." You see what took place? He divided the treasures up. He weighed it out. It was recorded. And then he told them, "Now look, this is the Lord's. You're being held accountable for this. You've got a responsibility. And so you make sure that you care for it until when you get to Jerusalem, when you get there, and then when it's weighed out and it's signed off on, then you won't be accountable anymore." But there's that, we see him, he's a man of financial integrity. And they do that until their responsibility there is fulfilled. And we see that there, as we saw in verses 31 through 34. The 33rd verse, after they get there in Jerusalem, "On the fourth day was the silver and the gold and the vessels weighed in the house of our God." And so it was weighed out, verse 34, "by number and by weight of everyone. And all the weight was written at that time." So there we see the responsibility that Ezra had in caring for his finance, the financial things, caring for making sure that the things of God were rightly handled. This is just a good practical lesson, I believe, in wise accounting of the gifts of God's people. We seek to do that here in our assembly, and I think it's probably a good thing to mention on occasion. We every now and then do that to let you know how we handle the monies that are put there in the box after each service. As that money is taken from the box, we have our Rick Fitzpatrick is our financial secretary. He's there, and he usually goes with our treasurer, or if one of them aren't here, somebody else. We usually have two men go back there together in the church office and count that. The treasurer, Mr. Robinson, gives a monthly financial report to the elders. It's not just a report that gives the figures, but we have a printout of every deposit that can be checked with the book down here at the church. We have a printout of every check that is written, and it's examined and looked at, and these are things that are done that we might be sure that we handle rightly the things that the Lord has entrusted to us. Just practically for our men, and for those that are charged with the financial responsibilities of your home. Be those of financial integrity, that no one could bring a charge against you for some way in which you handle your finances. Just a couple things as we bring this to a close, and actually there's two more points, but they're very quick, okay? So we should be able to get there before noon, but got a little bit of time. He was a man who influenced that there be God-honoring worship. Verse 35, when you come here to verse 35 of this chapter, when those had been carried away, they came here to Israel, they came to the temple, we see them carrying out a God-honoring worship. The people are worshiping the Lord. It says that the children of Israel that had been carried away, which were come out of the captivity, now they offered they offered burnt offerings there unto the Lord God. It's a great blessing to follow the Lord in his ways, and then to have those who are under you to follow the Lord in his ways. What a blessing it is to our men, to our fathers, when they have followed the Lord, and then to see those following in the ways of the Lord. Ezra, as a man of integrity, saw those following the Lord in worship as the scriptures had given, following the influence that he had had. May we have that kind of influence on our homes, of those following in worship as they ought. And then in verse 36, seeing there how even the civil authorities furthered the work. Look at verse 36. And they delivered the king's commissions unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors on this side of the river, and they furthered the people and the house of God. The Lord, there's evidence there of the hand of God working in the midst of his people and protecting them, even there. And from other passages, we know that the civil authorities that were there in the land around Jerusalem were not necessarily friendly on their own accord. It was by the hand of the Lord, as the Lord had worked in Artaxerxes' heart, and as Artaxerxes sent letters to them of how they were to treat these people. But we see then, even in that, as we see a man who has influenced God-honoring worship, that even the civil authorities there, we see that being said, they furthered the people and the house of God. They were able to serve under the blessing of God there at Jerusalem. Well, we've looked at a number of points this morning, and I, just to bring it back, may God give to us, and as we're being Father's Day, stressing to fathers especially and particularly, but to all of us, but may God grant to us men of integrity, such as Ezra, those that'll prepare their heart, those that'll have a good report from outside, those that will be a follower of the scripture, those that will be men of prayer, those that will have a guarded testimony, that really care for God and the testimony of their God, that he be exalted above all else. Those having financial integrity, those that would have the influence that would lead to God-honoring worship and upholding our God. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, as we see these examples of a life of a man that lived so many hundreds of years ago, but oh Lord, a man that gives to us an example that is very fresh and relevant to us today. Lord, may we take the life of this man in that he did in serving you right, and Lord, may we put these things to heart for our own lives, that we may be people that are able to be used of you in this day in which we live for such a time as this. And Lord, particularly, we pray that you would give us men, Lord, that honor thee and serve thee, men that can be used of you, even as Ezra was used back in his day. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.